And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. You have tuned in to the Week 12 Expert Picks podcast. I am joined, as I always am for these Expert Picks podcasts, by Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnan. We run down some of the best of the top 25 action, our locks and quarantines, the games that you love, the games you want to stay away from, with your wagers for the college football weekend. Of course, if you have any other games that you would like us to break down, you can always get at us during the week. You can hit up at IonCFB and to give us a game, a funny line that you don't like, and we will investigate. And by the way, speaking of pod puns, how did we not capitalize when Party Rock was big on Potty Rock?
What I want to know is why didn't Weird Al do a potty with a T-Rock about using the potty?
That would have been perfect.
I think that'd be great to, like, potty train your kids.
Yep.
I'm shocked that he did not. It seems like
he's slipping in his old age.
No way that happened. Apparently. He's too busy being on Twitter now.
Oh, is he
on Twitter?
Is he a good follower?
Yeah. He's a regular tweeter.
Nice. Well, we are, of course, as well, at Jerry Hinn and at Tom Fornelli, at Chip_Patterson. We are jumping right in to a big I've got no way to segue from Potty Rock to the top 25. Nothing. Texas seemed like their season was in the toilet, but they've turned it around. They are still undefeated in Big 12 play, and they host Oklahoma State. They are now up to number 23. Oklahoma State coming in, winners of four in a row. They finally seem to have gotten that offense going. Desmond Rowland and a rushing attack. J.W. Walsh also, as a runner, certainly have had their way against lesser competition in recent weeks. Texas, this is their first real test as they go through a challenging home stretch. Mack Brown's goal was to win the Big 12. They will need to win this game in order to set up a showdown in Waco against Baylor, trying to knock off the Bears. We have Texas as a 3.5-point underdog at home. So I'm going to start with you, Tom. How do you see this one playing out?
First of all, you said showdown in Waco, and history shows that showdowns in Waco generally end with buildings being set on fire.
Traditionally, yes.
Yeah, but I went with Oklahoma State, and this was a hard game for me to pick, but I went with Oklahoma State simply because, like you mentioned, they really have started playing well over the last month, even if it hasn't been against the greatest competition. And although Clint Shelf's numbers aren't, like, amazing, he certainly improved and become more consistent, and he's added that running element to the offense, and you mentioned the actual running game that the Cowboys have. But just as far as trends are concerned, I look at it, Oklahoma State's covered in four straight games, which is, you know, a trend that shows they're playing better than expected lately. And also, in the last 10 years, Texas has only been a home underdog three times, and it has failed to cover in all three of those. So with those two streaks, I felt safer going with Oklahoma State just simply because I feel like they're playing better than Texas right now.
Jerry, this was again, like Tom said, I thought this one was a very, very tough game to call just because we haven't really seen Texas, and they have had some injury issues. So, I mean, I think that was with Chris Whaley being out. I kind of kept skewing towards the Cowboys, but I would not be surprised if Texas covered or even won this game. Are you feeling a little bit more confident?
I'm feeling quite confident in the Cowboys, actually. Texas, you know, they beat Oklahoma, and that's great, but it's become clear over the last couple of weeks Oklahoma's offense has major, major issues. They narrowly escaped West Virginia. They didn't look particularly impressive against Kansas. I just don't see the Longhorns as being that good a team. Over the past three seasons, they're now 2-7 against the spread against ranked opposition, and one of those wins was against Oklahoma a few weeks ago. So, you know, I'm not seeing it. I think the Cowboys' running game is better than either the Texas passing game or the running game, and I think they're going to be able to control the clock and come away with a victory. And, you know, with only 3.5 points, between them with the spread, I think as long as the Cowboys win the game, you have to think they'll be able to cover as well.
Two notes before we move on. Yes, I did mean Clint Shelf. J.W. Walsh really has not been as much a part of the offense here in these last three games as the Cowboys have gotten it rolling again. Second note is we are all the CBS sports experts, Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, Jeremy Fowler, the three of us, all taking Oklahoma State to cover this number, and that makes me nervous.
Yeah, that means run to your bookie and take Texas while you still can.
Number 25, Georgia. Are we going to get Todd Gurley back going to face Auburn in Jordan-Hare? This is an Auburn rushing attack that has looked damn near unstoppable. Jerry, how are you feeling about the way this game's going to play out? The number's down at 3.5, which considering, you know, the different ways that banged up Georgia has played, 3.5 seems low. However, we are getting a little bit healthy, might have Lynch back, might have Conley back. What are you anticipating from the Bulldogs as they go to take on the Tigers in a huge game for both teams? You know, Georgia trying to stay alive in the SEC East division race. Auburn, of course, wants to set up an Iron Bowl that will be for the SEC West.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive game. It's kind of weird to think going back to the beginning of the season that, okay, Georgia's going to go to Auburn, and Auburn would be the team that needs a win to stay alive in the BCS championship race, and Georgia would be playing just to try to hang into their divisional hopes. I like Auburn in this one basically because they are just playing so much better right now. They're not going to be able to run the ball against Georgia the way that they did against Tennessee and Arkansas. Georgia's third in the SEC in yards per carry allowed, and you know, Auburn has struggled a little bit at times with more athletic front sevens. Mississippi State held them in check. LSU held them in check for the first half before Auburn kind of got things going there in the second half. But those games were both sort of earlier in the season. And Georgia, just over their last four SEC games, have not looked, you know, the injuries have really kind of taken hold. And over those last four SEC games, they've averaged a scoring margin of -3. They've lost, you know, by an average of 3 points. Auburn, over that same span, their last four SEC games are +15 average scoring margin. And, you know, schedule strength has something to do with that. But most three of those games for Auburn were on the road, Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Tennessee. So, you know, that kind of evens things out a little bit. I think the Tigers are just playing much better football right now. I think it's going to be a closer game than Auburn's last couple, but I still think the Tigers ought to be able to pull it out.
Tom, Auburn has covered 7 in a row, and on the opposite side of the tracks, Georgia has failed to cover their last 5, losing 2 of those straight up. Bulldogs on the season, 1-7-1, Auburn 8-2, yet you are taking the Bulldogs. Is this a feeling confident in the Bulldogs getting healthy again, or is this just sort of assuming that Auburn has to come back down to earth at some point?
It's really just following the same formula I've been following with Auburn during this 7-game cover streak. It's,
rush defense?
Yeah. Can their opponent stop the run? And yes, Georgia's defense can't stop the run. It's one of the best in the SEC yards per carry-wise. It's one of the better defenses in the country stopping the run. But on the flip side, too, we've been so enamored with Auburn's offense and how well it's played and how great the improvement's been over last season that – despite maybe that I think Georgia can make Auburn a bit too one-dimensional and force the Tigers to have to pass more than they really want to, it's the fact that Auburn's defense hasn't exactly been stout all season long, and it's kind of been glanced over. But this is a defense that's allowing 5.52 yards per play, which pretty much puts it in the middle of the road in the country. And this is a Georgia offense. I think Todd Gurley's getting healthy. I think he's near 100%. And with Gurley back and just the Georgia offense overall getting healthier, it's a very good Georgia offense. So I think the Bulldogs are going to be able to move the ball on this Auburn defense. And I feel like this could be more of a shootout than anything. And I think Georgia could get it at the end. It's more of a gut feeling there.
Tom has Jeremy Fowler and Bruce Feldman riding that gut feeling. We are split 3-3, Dennis Dodd with myself and Jerry Hinnan. Our Friday night game, Washington. If they're going to avoid 7-5, Washington needs to be able to go to Westwood and knock off UCLA. UCLA, a 2.5-point favorite, the way that we picked it. Jerry, I'm going to let you go first because 5 out of 6, taking UCLA to cover this number, I feel pretty confident about it. But you've got the Huskies, and I'm guessing you've got the Huskies straight up. What do you like?
I do.
What do you like about this matchup?
I like, Bishop Sankey, for one thing. I think, in general, I just think Washington's a better team. You look overall at both of these team schedules, and they've played 5 common opponents, which is a pretty healthy number. And Washington has had the better comparative score versus UCLA in four of those matchups, and one of them against Cal is a tie. Washington played Stanford much, much closer than UCLA did. Washington played Oregon in the final score closer than UCLA did. They beat Arizona more handily than UCLA did. You can go on down the line. Now, a lot of those home road sort of shifts in that comparison favor the Huskies, but this was a team that early in the season was really dominating people and looked like they were back to their sort of underrated selves. Against Colorado last week, drilled the Buffaloes 59-7. That was a team that UCLA struggled just a little bit with, beat them only by about 20-something, 23 or 24 points there. So, you know, I'm just feel like the Huskies, top to bottom, are the better team there with Keith Price, the Justin Wilcox coach defense, and Bishop Sankey. And, you know, UCLA's kind of gotten a lot of sort of hype and attention for the Miles Jack phenomenon this week, and not without reason. You know, it's kind of amazing what he did last week against the Wildcats. But I just think Washington's coming in under the radar a little bit here, and I picked against UCLA last week, which means clearly I'm not learning my lesson, but I just think the Huskies are the better team.
Tom, the thing that I'm going to let you obviously take this, but Bishop Sankey and Austin Safarian Jenkins, very much a problem. Reason I feel comfortable with UCLA here pretty much is because they have stellar linebacker play. You know, even Miles Jack aside, we figured that was one of the best linebacking cores. So I'm sort of putting faith in that the middle of that defense to being able to control the best weapons for Washington. What do you like about this matchup?
Yeah, I disagree that Washington's a better team than UCLA from top to bottom. You mentioned the Stanford game in which Washington performed better than UCLA, but Washington wasn't without its starting running back and two of its starting offensive linemen in their game against Stanford like UCLA was, which I think skewed the result in that game quite a bit. I think more it's a tiny spread, but since I think UCLA is winning, that's why, you know, I'm going with UCLA for those reasons that I mentioned. But it's also Washington really just hasn't been that good of a team on the road this year, and it hasn't been a good team on the road under Sarkisian. It's played three games. It beat Illinois and Chicago at a quote-unquote neutral site, but as we've seen from Illinois in recent weeks, that's not really that impressive of a win. And then it lost to Stanford and Arizona State on the road. And then it's played well the last 2 weeks, but I don't really put a whole lot of stock into Washington beating Cal and Colorado. To me, I don't see a team that's all that much improved from what we saw against Stanford, Oregon, and Arizona State. And while UCLA is not on that level of Stanford and Oregon, I think it's a similar team to Arizona State talent-wise. And I just don't think the Huskies can hang with the Bruins on the road in the Rose Bowl against a team that I think is more talented.
The Miami Hurricanes are really, really reeling right now after back-to-back losses at Florida State, 41-14, and then at home against Virginia Tech in the pouring rain, 42-24. The Hurricanes have not covered in their last four and really, really need this game to be able to keep what was almost a lock that they might get a rematch against Florida State. Now, all of a sudden, after the loss to Virginia Tech, they have to beat Duke in order to keep those slim hopes alive. The Blue Devils also need the victory in order to be able to try and surprise everyone, maybe finish 10-2 and jump up into that ACC title game. The way that we had this, the Blue Devils 3.5-point dogs. I went Miami, more talented team. You all went Miami. Duke is for Dennis Dodd. Dennis Dodd is he's a sucker for the nice story. I think easy.
Dennis loves the home dogs. Dennis loves home dogs.
That's, I mean, what's,
yeah, well, can you blame him? He's
no,
I believe
no,
he's still
it's
leading
it's
the
quite
expert
well for
picks
him.
Table yeah. By a decisive margin. I don't think any of us are in position to criticize whatever strategy Dennis might be using.
No, I'm worried when I see five of us pick one way and then Dodd pick the other, like he did in this game and then the Nebraska-Michigan State game. I'm starting thinking, oh man, maybe I should reconsider. But no, nine times out of ten, Dennis takes the home dog, and it's hard to argue with the results he's getting from it.
Of course, yeah. Dennis leading all the CBS Sports experts, 116-86 against the spread. And when you consider that we've picked every single top 25 game with no options of pass, like most, advice giver, you know, most people that give advice professionally would tell you that the pass is your greatest bet. And 116-86, very impressive. Tom, you first. Anything in particular that makes you nervous about this other than Dennis?
I mean, Stephen Morris makes me nervous just simply because you never know when he might just start firing interceptions. But like you said, I think Miami's the more talented team. And I know Duke is the fun story since, you know, Duke of all teams is 7-2. But you got to look at Duke's wins. Their wins are against North Carolina Central, Memphis, Troy, Navy, Virginia, NC State, and then the one respectable win against Virginia Tech. So it's a 7-2 record, but I think it's seven wins that have been built upon kind of a shaky foundation. So even without Duke Johnson, I just think Miami has too much talent on both sides of the ball for the Blue Devils. And like I said, unless Stephen Morris just starts chucking interceptions all over the place, I'm fairly confident Miami takes this one.
This Duke defense has been very, very good, including Devon Edwards, who picked off back-to-back passes, took him back for a touchdown against NC State. The defense also intercepted Logan Thomas four times, caused a bunch of fumbles. I mean, this Duke defense has been very opportunistic.
We've intercepted Logan Thomas four times.
I agree with what you're saying, because Duke's defense is scrappy. They've been forcing turnovers, and so that is certainly a reason to be concerned. But man, Jerry, I watched that State game last week, and Duke needed all of those. I mean, this was not an 18-point dominant win. I did not think that they are. I think Anthony Boone is turning the ball over himself. I think Miami is going to sort of use this as a bounce back.
Yeah, I did too. Even the Virginia Tech win was fueled almost exclusively by those turnovers. Duke, if I remember correctly, did not complete a pass in the second half of that game.
No third downs either.
No third down conversions. You know, it's a great story, but they've been kind of living on that turnover edge. And certainly you can't rule out Miami donating another turnover-fueled victory to the cause behind Stephen Morris. But at some point, I think that's some good fortune that's just going to run out. And I think that point is against a Miami team that's due to play a really good game. It's been a while, you know, that in Duke have a team that you guys pointed out is just much less kind of talented across the board, can't really match up athletically necessarily. I just really like Miami to be able to pull this one out.
Seems like it's going to be I bet we see like a special teams touchdown or something sort of sway that. Jameson Crowder and Stacy Coley. Stacy Coley, obviously a freshman, very highly touted. He has really done some damage in punt return, and Jameson Crowder has done so himself. I'll say that one. Watch special teams. This is going to be a big play. All right, Florida needs two wins in their final three games in order to avoid its first losing season since 1979, and the Gators are 13.5-point underdogs traveling to Columbia to play South Carolina. South Carolina trying to clinch this game and sort of finish as the first one in the clubhouse in the SEC East, putting the pressure on Missouri and, you know, Missouri going up against Ole Miss and Texas A&M, certainly challenging matchups. The popular thinking is that the Gamecocks can win this. That is a very good position for them to be in to possibly get to Atlanta. Florida might not have Tyler Murphy, a shoulder issue that's been bothering him throughout the season. You know, all of a sudden he's day-to-day. Offensive coordinator Brent Pease seems kind of iffy with the media. Jerry, let's go right back to you first. We haven't seen the South Carolina team. They sort of have been a little bit below the radar, off a week and sort of moving along. Do you think that we see their best performance in this game?
I think we'll see something like it. We know that this game obviously means a lot to Steve Spurrier. We know that the Gamecocks generally play very, very well at home, basically ever since Connor Shaw started for them two seasons ago. And, you know, picking South Carolina in this game isn't even as much about the Gamecocks as it is just how horrible Florida has been recently. This is their last four yards per plays numbers per games here: 3.5 against LSU, 2.5 against Missouri, 4.5 against Georgia. Hey, there we go. 4.3 against Vanderbilt, with an entire series of back-breaking turnovers. I just don't understand how, if you lose at home to Vandy by 17, you're expected to go on the road and keep it within two touchdowns at South Carolina, particularly when your quarterback is A, banged up, B, just playing so poorly at this point. And I don't think Florida fans even want to discuss what might happen if Murphy can't go. I think barring that Florida defense, which frankly started to look a little bit worn down and just dejected really against the Commodores, unless they come up with a whole series of big turnovers and defensive touchdowns, I don't see this one being close at all.
The morning wig star could shine bright. would that be a burned red shirt?
I believe it would, yes. Morningweg has not played yet this season.
Yeah. Well, he's the last scholarship quarterback available, so if Murphy can't go, might be burning red shirts. Tom, what's your read on this game?
My read is I have absolutely no faith in Florida at all right now. With just it's hard for me to pick the Gators at anything at this moment. And like Jerry mentioned, South Carolina's been good at home. This game is important to Spurrier. And frankly, I just hope that every single Gator gets through the game with his health intact.
Fair enough.
That's not happening.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
That's not happening. The entire SEC East took a field trip to an Indian burial ground at some point this offseason. Like the Gators, the Gamecocks, the Georgia, obviously Missouri. There, lost James Franklin even for a couple of games. Are still missing him as of last week, actually. Like, they all got together, and they all went and, like, smashed a mirror factory. Like, they went to the ladder factory and walked under every model in the floor room. It's been astounding. I can't think of any situation like it, really.
No, it's been horrible.
Yes, that is a against-the-grain prediction and a hope. Florida coming out of this game healthy. Absolutely.
I'm not even trying to be a smartass.
I know you're not.
I just don't want anybody else to get hurt anymore.
Alabama, after really dominating in the second half against LSU, they now go on the road to play Mississippi State, and they are 24.5-point favorites. The three of us all taking Alabama, the three senior riders all taking Mississippi State. I will say that I don't necessarily feel – I feel obviously very, very confident that Alabama is going to win this game, but 24.5 was a very tough number for me just looking back at this series history. And Jerry – or Tom, let's go back to you first. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the history between these two, it's been kind of close to the number the last couple years. It would not surprise me if we're close to the number again in this game. As I don't really see, especially if Prescott can't play and it's just Tyler Russell. Tyler Russell has only been able to lead the Bulldogs to one touchdown the last 2 years against the Tide. I think that once again, you're picking on, how much that defense is going to hold up when the Tide basically just start running the ball every play in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, I suppose you can worry about a letdown after the LSU game, but Nick Saban teams generally don't suffer from the letdowns. And for me, it's more the fact that in the last 5 years, Alabama is 4-0-1 with the one push against the spread against Mississippi State. And the Bulldogs really haven't competed with the Crimson Tide for a full 60 minutes. They've had a quarter here and there, but they haven't really been able to put together a full game without wearing down, just like you said. So I'm a little concerned about the size of the spread, but I'm still relatively confident that Alabama will be just fine here.
What about you, Jerry?
I don't see how you can take Mississippi State with Dak Prescott's health being a concern at this stage. If he plays and if Mississippi State plays a good game, then yeah, they can theoretically stay within the score. Alabama, you would kind of think, would be due for some sort of a letdown at some point. They are human, in fact. Despite having ripped off now four covers in a row, five of their last six, and the only one in that span was the 54-point spread against Georgia State that they didn't cover. At some point, you would think that there might be a letdown, but I don't think you can expect it. I think it's just going to sort of happen somewhere along the way, and particularly with Prescott's health being a question. And as Tom pointed out, this is actually a series that Alabama's dominated against the spread the last few years. There's no way I can pull the trigger on the Bulldogs here.
Yeah, I'm totally ready to lose this pick 31-9 or something, though.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, it's going to be something like that where and again, I sort of am back in the position after being burned several times this season. I just if I don't think a team is very good, I don't want to be rooting for a garbage time touchdown to get that cover.
It's a fun spot to be in, though.
Oh, thrilling. All right, speaking of a place where I'm hoping for a backdoor cover, Oregon State traveling to go play Arizona State. The Sun Devils are 13.5-point favorites at home. I am so thrilled to be lined up with Dodd on this pick, taking the Beavers, because literally my pick on the Beavers is that I think that this Oregon State team is still pretty good. I think they've got one classic Oregon State scare somebody game in them. And so at two touchdowns, I was thinking this might be it. Arizona State seemingly in the Pac-12 South driver's seat. They still have some challenging games down the road, but I was just saying maybe this is the game that they're caught sleeping. But other than that, I think Arizona State's the better team. Both of you gentlemen took the Sun Devils. We'll start with you, Jerry. What do you like about the matchup?
What I like is that under Todd Graham, Arizona State is 5-1 as a home favorite in Pac-12 play. And just in general, I think Arizona State is an underrated team. You know, beating Wisconsin, even under extremely favorable circumstances, shall we say, from the refs, that Wisconsin team is so good that I think that's an extremely impressive win. I've already covered Washington. Pounding them the way that Arizona State did was extremely impressive. They just went on the road and absolutely mauled Washington State a little bit ago. I really like Arizona State is basically what I'm saying. This is all their games from here on out are very important in that Pac-12 South race. I think they're going to be focused. And, you know, Oregon State really hasn't played all that well lately. Their last two games are home against Stanford, home against USC, and they weren't particularly competitive in either one of those. They sort of had a last-ditch chance against Stanford, but they just haven't really seemed to necessarily be able to capture some of the offensive magic they had earlier in the season, and I don't think going on the road to Tempe is a good formula for recapturing that.
Tom?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything Jerry said there. Oregon State had the bye last week, so there's a chance they got their act together. But an offense that had looked, you know, great for the most of the season with Sean Mannion and Brandon Cooks has only managed 12 points against Stanford and 14 points against USC. Both games were at home, and that offense just has stalled. So I don't think Arizona State has a defense nearly as good as USC's or Stanford, but it's still good enough to slow down this Oregon State offense. And I don't have much confidence in an Oregon State defense to stop the Arizona State offense. So I think that this is going to be a game where I wouldn't call it a blowout, but I don't really feel worried about giving up two touchdowns for the most part either.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's go Houston after falling short. They had fourth and goal, 7 yards away from knocking off UCF on the road, end up losing that game 19-15. Now they go to play Louisville. Louisville sort of under the radar game against UConn on Friday night. Did not cover, but did win handily. The Cardinals are 16.5-point favorites at home. We are 5 out of 6 rolling with the Cougs. Old Johnny O'Corn, and I don't care. So, Jerry, as the one person who took Louisville, tell me what you like about the Cards.
I think it's more that Houston, I think, may suffer a bit of a hangover after that game last week. That was their biggest game of the season going down to UCF. And I think Louisville, you know, again, has kind of sleptwalked for, you know, a couple of weeks. And here's a game that really matters to them. They're going to be at home. I still really like Louisville's defense. I don't think Houston is really quite as good a team top to bottom as UCF is. It's more points than I'm really comfortable giving up here. It's a very large number. 16.5 is, this is not, you know, a game I feel like I have a whole lot of confidence in. But Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is due for one of those games where he just completes everything. Houston's defense is vulnerable in spots. I don't know. This just has the feel to me just ever so slightly of, you know, a 17-20-point win for Louisville as opposed to the sleepwalking 14-point win that we maybe have been accustomed to.
I will disagree with you. I think Houston's defense they've been picked apart at times, but I think I like Houston's defense. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I got a good feeling that they might even pick off Teddy Bridgewater once in this game. Tom, I just don't think Houston is 17 points worse than Louisville based on what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. What was your thinking on the Cougs?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I don't think Houston's going to win, but I do think that that offense will be able to put up enough points against Louisville to make that cover relatively simple. And also, I mean, it's just the fact that on the season, Houston is 8-1 against the spread, and it's 4-0 against the spread on the road. So those are numbers that are kind of hard to ignore. And like Jerry mentioned, Louisville has sleptwalked quite a bit this season, but they haven't shown me any reason for them to stop sleepwalking this weekend. So I think the Cardinals are going to win, but I don't think – it's kind of like I just said with the Arizona State game. I don't think it'll be a blowout. So I think – Houston hangs tough, and I don't think Houston's defense is as bad as Jerry seems to believe it is, but I think the Cougars will hang.
Before we move on, brutal scheduling for Houston to catch, go at UCF and then at Louisville back-to-back.
Yeah, it's not really doing them a lot of favors.
Nah, this Houston team, props to Coach Tony Levine for sort of getting things together after a very disappointing 2012 season. Once Louisville gets out of here, I'm starting to get a little excited about this little Houston UCF American Athletic Conference rivalry moving forward.
And yeah, sure.
You're not that excited about it, huh?
You're just writing off Cincinnati. Cincinnati's sitting there getting the bulletin board material.
No, that's right.
Tubbs is coming.
I do feel bad. Cincinnati, I think that there's still only one loss in conference play, but because they don't – the matchups are all weird. The scheduling was strange. They don't play UCF. So that Louisville game is no longer – speaking of UCF –
Wait. Do you think Louisville is paying $11 million just because they're scared to play Houston next year?
Yes, I definitely do.
I think that's what we should go with. Louisville's paying $11 million to get away from Houston.
They're like, oh, man, nah, I can't mess with Houston. I'm going to go play Florida State and Clemson every single year. I'd much rather do that than play Houston.
And if you were the American Athletic Conference, would you want $11 million from Louisville or $11 million free pizzas from Papa John's?
Free pizzas.
From Papa John's.
Papa John's are all right. I mean, that's Papa John's pizzas are like the standard, like, oh, if you want to come to this informational meeting about this random team, we got like 12 Papa John's.
But here's the thing. As a typical rule, if your pizza comes with ranch dressing to dip it in, probably not that good.
Okay. All right, let's run through some real quick facts that matter. Speaking of the American, UCF at Temple. Temple's 16.5-point dogs at home. Jerry, you and Mr. Dodd like the Owls. So what is your fact that matters?
That UCF basically clinched the AAC-BCS conference bid last week, and that they know that basically all they have to do is – you know, again, talking about sleepwalking in this conference, sleepwalk through their final few games. They have to lose two of these games, like not just one. They have to lose two now that they have the head-to-head tiebreaker over both Houston and Louisville. I think this is going to be a big letdown situation. It's on the road. And Temple has been surprisingly feisty the last few weeks, gave Rutgers a real scare. And 16.5, to me, that's a pretty big number for a team that needed like a late fumble forced, then return for a touchdown on a kickoff to beat Memphis several weeks back. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Owls, actually.
Tom, Iowa State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma 24.5-point favorites. Do you see them getting back online and rolling over a very, very poor Iowa State team, I am guessing. What is your fact that matters?
I'm not confident in this pick at all. I went with Oklahoma simply because I don't think it is as bad as it looked last week, whereas I'm pretty sure Iowa State is as bad as it's looked every week. So I don't think that – I'm not going to sit here and tell you Oklahoma's going to cover. I just picked Oklahoma to cover because they're at home. And that was really my only thought process. I sat and stared at this one like, crap. I mean, I don't want to rely on Oklahoma to cover 24.5 points, but I didn't want to rely on Iowa State to cover 24.5 points even less. So I went with Oklahoma.
Jerry, Syracuse at number two, Florida State. Florida State 38.5-point favorites at home. I did the opposite of what Tom was saying. I probably should have gone Florida State, but I went with Syracuse. You did as well. Please tell me you've got a better fact.
Well, here my fact is that Syracuse has allowed 3 points in their last two games. Yes, it's Wake Forest and Maryland in those two games, but Scott Schaefer's defense, since the 56-0 hiding that they took at Georgia Tech, has looked much improved. They only allowed 10 points the week before that at North Carolina State. We all know the option is a little bit of a different animal. So, you know, it worries me. Florida State has obviously been covering left and right and just reduced Wake Forest to matchsticks last week on the road, and now they're at home. You know, this is not a game I really feel particularly comfortable picking, but I just think the numbers have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger for Florida State, and at some point, you know, they're going to be too big, and I think the Syracuse defense can make this week the week that it is.
Jerome Smith, running back for Syracuse, has also done a pretty good job. I see Scott Schaefer wanting to shorten this game. I forgot that was my thinking. But they've done a good job of running the ball. That's pretty much what they got. They run the ball. They got a pretty good defense. Terrell Hunt, the new quarterback, can connect with Jared West sometimes, but will not against these Florida State defensive backs. They're just going to try and shorten the game. Tom, Ohio State's playing at Illinois, Fighting Illini, 32.5 point favorites. I mean, underdogs.
Whoa, wait a minute.
32.5 point underdogs at home. How can you, the master czar of the champagne room, pick against Illinois?
Because I've seen Illinois play every game this year.
Ah, all right. That's a pretty good reason.
No. You know, overall, if you look at Illinois' offensive numbers, they're, you know, decent enough. But when you actually look inside, it's Illinois in Big Ten play is averaging 21 points a game. But if you take out last week against Indiana, which is Indiana's defense, and a couple meaningless touchdowns that they scored in the fourth quarter against Wisconsin after that game was well out of hand, the fact is Illinois' offense is averaging 14 points a game in Big Ten play when you look at it that way. And meanwhile, their defense can't stop anybody. They've given up rushing, you know, they four running backs in Big Ten play have rushed for 200 yards or more against them. And now this week, they're facing Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde, an Ohio State team that has made a point of blowing teams out in recent weeks as it tries to gain a little more respect from the pollsters, although they won't say that publicly. But that's exactly what they're trying to do. And Ohio State's going to look to continue that trend this week, and I think they will. And I think they cover this one pretty easily.
Real quickly, before we go to a rapid version of Locks and Quarantines, we all picked Baylor to cover 26.5 with Texas Tech in Arlington. Any nervousness there?
No.
Baylor is 7-1 against the spread this year. They were 9-4 against the spread last year. They were 8-4 against the spread the year before. I don't see any profit in picking against Baylor, particularly when you're talking about a Texas Tech team that looked just lost on defense against Kansas State last week. Don't see it.
All right, everyone's favorite segment. It is Locks and Quarantines. You up first, Tom.
Baylor was one of my locks, but my other lock is Kansas State minus 10.5 over TCU, simply because Kansas State has played really well in the last month. It is covered in 5 straight games. It's playing its best football this season. Meanwhile, TCU has failed to cover in 5 straight games while going 2-8 against the spread overall in the year. And another game that's not quite a lock, but I'm getting close to locking it up, is Michigan State over Nebraska in Lincoln. The only reason I haven't locked it up is because the game is in Lincoln.
What about you, Jerry?
I really, really, really like South Carolina. We picked it at minus 11.5. It's up to minus 13. I think I would take the Gamecocks if that line was 20. As far as are we going to quarantines yet?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and sway the tide that way, that is more
okay,
than
yeah, long. Well, that Louisville pick, like I mentioned, against Houston is not one I really have any confidence in. Another lock. I like Wisconsin a lot at home against Indiana. We picked that at 20.5 points. I don't see, like, Wisconsin's going to be able to put up, 55, 56 points against that Indiana defense without breaking a sweat. Exactly. The game I really would not want to pick, my quarantine, is Clemson and Georgia Tech. You know, when the option is involved and when Clemson is involved, or at least the 2013 version of Clemson, which can blow out Syracuse one week and then sort of look completely distracted against Boston College the next. I don't really want any part of that game. There's just too many wild variables there. You would think Georgia Tech might be able to, you know, run clock, keep the score down, and cover the 10.5. But Clemson is also at home and just might blow them out of the building if they're in the mood. So I don't like that game at all.
If you're asking for my take, veteran Georgia Tech defense, and these two teams play each other every single year. They're in different divisions, but they're cross division rivals. I think you are right to stay away from it because it might be close to that number. I just don't see Georgia Tech getting blown out of that game. Did you what quarantines for you, Tom?
My first quarantine was one we mentioned earlier, the Oklahoma-Iowa State game. I would just stay as far away from that one as possible. And another game that we didn't discuss, I picked Stanford to cover -3.5 against USC, but I don't feel comfortable in that game at all simply because of, you know, the letdown possibilities with Stanford coming off that huge win against Oregon. And also the fact that USC in Pac-12 play under Ed Orgeron has just been playing extremely well. So I would not be shocked if Stanford follows up its win over Oregon with a loss to USC. So because of that, I would just stay away from it.
How crazy is that? I'm with you. I mean, I took USC to cover because I was thinking, like, man, shoot, they might win.
I pulled the trigger on the upset. I've got SC straight up. Man, like, I just think letdown situation going on the road to an SC team that, like, they know this is, you know, their biggest game of the season right here. You know, forget everything that's happened. If they win this game, this season is suddenly like a success, basically.
Well, if they win this game, they've got a legit chance to win the Pac-12 South.
Exactly.
Nuts. But I'm excited. I mean, I think this is a huge game. That's what is the game? Would you say that's the most anticipated game of the weekend in your book?
I'm actually looking forward to Wednesday night's Northern Illinois Ball State, but as far as, you know, the main Saturday games, yeah, it's not really a great slate. I'd say that could be the most interesting one we'll get.
I've got UGA Auburn, the USC Stanford game, and then I'll say Michigan State Nebraska, just because I've been beating this Michigan State drum for a while. I'd like to see them cash in on that.
I just really don't see Nebraska being able to do anything on offense.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know why. It makes me nervous that Dodd's taking Nebraska.
Yeah, I know. It makes me nervous too. But it's like I said, if this game was in East Lansing, it'd be my lock. But the only reason it's not is because it's in Lincoln.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. As always, at Jerry Hinnon on Twitter, at Tom Fornelli, I'm at Chip_Patterson. Make sure you go to the iTunes and subscribe, review, rate us. You can send us an email to podcast@cbsinteractive.com, or, of course, get at the account on Twitter, @IonCFB. For Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnon, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.